Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. And this is Taking It to the Streets. Good evening, everyone, my brothers, my sisters. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, August 17th, 2020. I'm your host, Bishop Shalene Cook. I'm the founder of No Bounds Global Outreach Ministries, which is the home of the Spirit Alive Ministries, the Spirit Alive Networks, and the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, which airs right here on the Transformation Station each and every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern. At the top of the program, you heard Pastor Hezekiah Walker singing, "You're All I Need." And as always, we begin every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow with me, saints? Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of grace just praising you and glorifying you and thanking you for yet another day. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us another opportunity to come together, Lord, and to study your holy word. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would pour into us as we pour into your people. Yes. Use us, Father God, to empower, to impact, to activate your people to live a more abundant life in you. Yes. And Lord, I'm so grateful for my sisters that are in the house, the Jesus. Spirit Alive staff, Lord. I want to thank you for Evangelist Michelle Scott. I want to thank you for Apostle Zeta, who will be bringing us our 2 Chronicles 7:14 challenge, Father God. I just want to thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, I just pray that if someone is listening on tonight that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that tonight would be the night that they change their eternal address. I pray this and all other things in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God, saints. Well, saints of God, we are marching on. We're marching on through our comprehensive study of spiritual warfare. Now, we need to know as saints of God that the time for playing church and playing as though we are God's people is over. What we need to do, saints of God, is really armor up and take our rightful place at the stations, at our battle stations. Amen? So Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about transference of spirit. And that is very, very important because, you know, the enemy can attack us suddenly, or he can come at us, Holly, he can come at us with a boldness like we have never seen.
Yeah.
But you know what? As we have been studying throughout these lessons, glory mm-hmm. to God, God always, always has a countermeasure for every strategy and every attack that the enemy tries to use on us. That's why he can say that no weapons formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
Because he has the power, hallelujah, to equip us to overcome the enemy in every situation.
Yes.
So now let's get down to the Father's business. Let me tell you about this transference of evil spirits. Let me tell you, saints of God, this is no joke. Huh. None at all. What we got to know and understand for ourselves is with every lesson, we have a key verse. We have an article of war. Amen? Because you know that every time the men go into battle, they have a battle plan. So they have articles of war. Well, we know as soldiers of the Most High God that our articles is his holy word. So let's get into it. Our article tonight comes from the book of Numbers chapter 11:17, and it says, "I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon thee, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Now, what we're going to do in this lesson is study one of the most powerful and influential studies used by Satan ever. And recognition of this strategy will answer many questions that you may have had in the past as you witness negative changes in your family, friends,
yes,
church fellowship, maybe even yourself. The strategy of which we speak is called transference of spirit. Now, let me give you some examples of that from our very lives. Example one. Your youngest son was raised to be a part of a closely knit family with good communication. He respected your rules and you attended church together. Now, suddenly, this child doesn't want to be with the family or attend church. He becomes sullen, withdrawn, and rebellious. He defies your instructions and stays out late at night. And you just don't understand the change. You didn't have that problem with your older son, and both sons received the same love and guidance. So what caused this situation? Flathead. Now, example two, an assistant pastor who was formerly a great spiritual blessing to the church becomes discontent, critical, and refuses to submit to the leadership of his pastor. Now, he gathers a group of people around him, and they develop similar attitudes. The assistant pastor sows discord and splits the fellowship. Now, let's examine the problem with the son, and you will find the change came about after someone else came into his life that he thought he respected and admired. Now, he began to associate closely with that person. And he began to tell you what they thought or said and what their parents allowed. And he began to pattern himself after their style of behavior and dress. Now, in the case of the associate pastor, you will find a similar situation. Because families in the church loved and respected him as a spiritual leader, they listened as he sowed the seeds of discord. His critical and rebellious spirit soon spread to others in the church. We're talking about transference of spirit. Both of these situations occur because of Satan. Now, to transfer means to convey from one person to another. The word spirit as used here refers to the character, attitude, or motive behind an action. We're not talking about a demon in this case, beloved, okay? Although there's plenty of them we can talk about. Now, what I need you to understand tonight is that the actions of each person exhibit a spirit. For example, a person can be like Apostle Zeta, and they demonstrate a sweet and quiet, gentle spirit. Or they can be more like me, and I have a more boisterous spirit. Or someone may have a rebellious spirit. But you can tell all of this by the action. A person's spirit can be influenced by the spiritual forces of good or evil. And this spirit can be transferred to others on a personal level or on group basis. Now, let me tell you why old flathead Satan wants to jack up our spirit and transfer spirits. But before we do that, I want to study some biblical examples of transference of spirit. It is important to understand your own spirit. And that's why, like I said, Satan wants to jack it up. First and foremost, God created our spirit. In Zechariah 12:1, the word of God declares, the burden of the word of the Lord of Israel, saith the Lord, for the Lord For Israel saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Example 2, Isaiah 42:5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. It is the spirit that gives life. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. That's what James said in chapter 2, verse 26. And at death, our spirit returns to God. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? God.
Yes.
Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You see, we must understand that God is the Lord of our spirit. Okay? So Satan is trying to come in and change that. But the word of God declares in Numbers 27:16, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. And in Hebrews 12:9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? What they're saying is, you know, they've had fathers that corrected them, and they respected them. So shouldn't they give that same reverence to God? But we got to understand something, that God weighs, or he judges our spirit. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. See, God is looking at how we're behaving. He's looking at what's coming out of our mouth. He's looking at what we're doing. And see, God wants his spirit to be able to indwell within us so that we will be able to live with him, live for him. And this is why Satan attacks our spirit. Because in Ezekiel we can read 36:27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. See, the inner old flathead Satan knows if he can transfer a spirit, if he can turn our spirits away from God, then we won't walk in his statutes. We won't keep his judgments and do them. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God wants to preserve your spirit in holiness. That is still a word in the Bible. Until the return of Jesus Christ. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, one of the most important reasons Satan attacks the spirit of man is because it is the spirit that bears witness with the Holy Spirit and gives assurance of salvation. In Romans 8:16, we can read, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And another reason that he must attack our spirit is that God uses our spirit to guide our lives. In the natural world, a candle gives light so that one has guidance. This is the function of the spirit in the spiritual world. You see, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Satan also attacks the spirit because he knows it is a man of right spirit that God uses for his kingdom.
Amen.
But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit and trembles at my word, Isaiah 66:2. Satan attacks the spirit because God dwells with the man of right spirit. He also sends revival through a man of right spirit. And when I say man, I'm talking about all mankind. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That is found in Isaiah 57:15. Now, when Satan causes wrong spirit in a church fellowship, he prevents revival. Satan combines his attack on your spirit with his attack on your tongue. Now, as we previously learned, the tongue is used by Satan to cause a breach in the spirit. A breach is an open place, a hole that provides entrance for the enemy. You see, Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. Now, when Satan causes you to sin with your tongue, he has created a breach which provides access to the spirit. Now, I know some of you are like, well, wait a minute, Bishop, I hear all of this, but now, is transference of spirit scriptural? Yes. It is possible to receive another spirit. Paul mentions transference of another spirit. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, so we can have transference of spirits. Biblical examples also support the concept of transference of spirits. An example of transference of a good spirit is found in Numbers 11:16-17. And it reads, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. Thou wilt remember that. And I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. The powerful anointing of God upon Moses was transferred from him to those selected elders. You see, they came under the influence of Moses. Their spirits were in unity with and submission to his. Now, let me tell you Satan's strategies for transference of evil spirits. You see, we got to remember, saints, Satan is an imitator. He's an imitator, not an originator. So he has to use the pattern established by God for transferring a good spirit to transfer wrong spirits between men. One example of this is the story of the 12 spies sent by Moses to spy out the land promised by God to Israel. Now, you can read that account in Numbers chapter 13, 17 through 14. Hallelujah. You can. It says, 10 of these spies returned with a negative report. They told of a great walled cities and powerful enemy forces in the land. They transferred a spirit of fear and unbelief in God's people. Then it went on to say, we were not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now just think. They were sent to scope out the land. And this is the report that they came back with. But oh, hallelujah. The word of God says, but two of the 12 spies had a different spirit. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. That's Numbers 14 and 24. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Junipher, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. Now, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Now, here were two contrary spirits seeking to control the people. One was a spirit of unbelief. The other was a spirit of faith. And Caleb filled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's what Caleb said. Now look how the negative spirit of the 10 spies affected the people. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept at night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Now, 10 spirits came back, and with a negative report, with a negative spirit of unbelief. And this is the chaos that they caused. There was division. There was dissension. There was despair. People lost hope. That's how come it's so important that we do a daily spirit check. And you might ask yourself, why were the people affected by the evil spirit instead of the good? Well, that's because of the basic sin nature. We tend to immediately and accept and believe an evil report. There's also a tendency to follow the crowd and to accept the decision of the majority as the will of God. Don't you all don't believe it? Also, if Israel had accepted the positive report, it would have meant putting their lives on the line. They would have to expose themselves to great danger. Now, you know the human nature is always to take the easy way out. So this powerful strategy of transference of spirit accounts for many of the spiritual battles fought by us today. It accounts for the abrupt changes from positive to negative behavior, which we witness in those around us. And it can explain why two children raised in the same household can come out differently. It's the reason behind divisions in homes, friendships, church fellowships. You have to, when you maintain close association with or come under the influence of a person with a spirit that is more powerful than yours, you are open to the transference of that spirit. You are influenced by that spirit, and it can be transferred to you. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the countermeasures, the counter strategies, what to do, what to look for. But let me start you out. First and foremost, if the Holy Spirit, if you're submitted to the will, the work, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you're going to do what the Lord says, and you're always going to test that spirit. But have you noticed that every time you have made up your mind that you are going to serve the Lord, that you are going to do a work, watch this, there may be people that you have not spoken to in years call you up out the blue. Well, you know, oh, you doing that? Well, why are you doing that? Well, doesn't that cost money? Well, where are you going to get the money? Well, who told you you could do that? And before you know it, you might find yourself, because I'm talking about these people are like negative Nellies and negative Nicks. I mean, every time they open up their mouth, depression falls out. Negativity falls out. And that's the kind of people that Satan sends at you. And he will use your family, your friends, your church family. Because, you see, we today are no different than the Israelites then. We like to hear a bunch of mess. Some of us like to hear the mess, the drama. You know, it makes church fun and interesting. But it's not the Jesus way. Next week I'm going to tell you how to be careful about the people you surround yourself with. Be careful. Prideful people. They'll get you. You know. Here you are. You've been humbly serving like an Andrew, content to do what God has told you to do. You don't need to be seen. You don't need to be on a program. You don't need any amens. But all of a sudden, some slick pastor or some prideful deacon or teacher, here they come. And the next thing you know, you're trying to keep up with them. You know it. You're walking around with your chest puffed out, speaking just like them. Because you literally let Satan run over you. We all have been given the authority. We all are being equipped to deal with everything that the enemy has to dish out. If we would only believe and trust what our Father God has said, check, do a spirit check. Be around people that are truly God-fearing, truly love the Lord, truly about light. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, you'll be all right. But we'll talk more about that next week. I want to get on off so I can give my beautiful sister, mother, pastor friend, Apostle Zeta Flowers, an opportunity now to come on and do her Chronicles, Second Chronicles 7:14 challenge. Amen.
Amen, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I've enjoyed what I heard. And
amen.
I have a challenge here today to share with you. I will be sharing on the title of this lesson is Courage. And the scriptures are going to come out of Luke, the first chapter. And then I'm going to talk about, to share about God's promises concerning financial and material provision. Amen. So we will begin now with the scripture in Luke. That's Luke, the first chapter. And we will be starting with the 35th verse. Luke 1:35. Praise God. I certainly enjoyed what I have heard and on the transferring of spirit. It is so important that we know about it. Praise God.
Yes. Amen. God bless you, Mom.
Amen. Hallelujah. So first chapter I'm sorry, I have the wrong one. Okay. Actually, I think I would like to start at the 26th verse. Here we're talking about the birth of Jesus, the foretelling of Jesus' birth. Praise God. All right. 26th verse says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And we all know this story, but it is such a beautiful, beautiful passage. The 28th verse says, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Praise God. Isn't that special? Hallelujah. Mary was chosen, hallelujah, to be the one to carry our Savior, Jesus Christ. The 29th verse says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to find favor with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
First verse says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But she was yet still with child. Hallelujah. So I can imagine at that time the fear, the, you know, I don't know how she was really feeling, but I can just imagine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not really knowing what was happening. All right, the 33rd verse says, and he, oh, I read that. 34th verse, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her and said unto her, the Holy Ghost has come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Hallelujah. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Well, we know at that point Mary had accepted what had happened with her. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came upon her. Praise God. Hallelujah. And she was carrying Jesus Christ in her womb. Praise God. We know that the angels, God uses angels in many situations, and in this situation, the angel Gabriel came and made a visit to Mary to let her know, praise God, what it was all about. All right, so then after that, I'm going to read just a little bit of this. Mary goes and she visits Elizabeth. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, because Mary shared with her what the angel had spoken to her. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost right at that moment. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Mary, art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? Hallelujah. So Elizabeth was excited. It says, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we know that baby was John the Baptist. Praise God. Hallelujah. The 46th verse says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then later, as we know, Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. Praise God. Such a beautiful passage. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I can just imagine what was going on at that time. And we know from the story a little about Joseph, how he was feeling. Mary was uncertain, but we have these uncertainties also, and we are sometimes puzzled. Hallelujah. But the Lord works it all out, and he lets us know that everything is all right. All right, in our praise and thanksgiving today, we can thank the Lord for the courage that he gives us, because he gave Mary courage in carrying baby Jesus in her womb. And in spite of how it all came about, she was also given an understanding about it. So we can praise God and thank him for the courage that he gives us along the way. When we have uncertainties and they even possibly fear, praise God. And in our confession this evening, we can confess any fear that we may have been harboring. hallelujah, in our service to the Lord. And in asking, we can go to God and, you know, with the courage. I'm just gonna read this, what the lesson is saying. It says, ask the Lord to give you the courage to respond to any calling that he has in your life, just as Mary did. Hallelujah. She accepted it. Praise God. And so when God calls us to any work or any mission or whatever it might be, we just need to accept it, hallelujah, and then trust God in it. It says sometimes we are afraid of getting too close to the Lord for fear that he may send us to another country or ask us to do something that we are afraid of. Praise God. And I know sometimes people will go as far as to say, talk about what they won't do and where they won't go. Praise God. But if God tells us where to go, what to do, we need to just do that. Praise God, in our obedience to him. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says, imagine the impact Christ's followers could have if we all just boldly responded, like Mary did, to the Lord's call. Today, choose to willingly do whatever the Lord calls you to do. He will direct your path as long as you are willing. So we need to be willing and obedient, hallelujah, to God's commands. And then for the closing prayer for this lesson here, it says, dear Lord, even though we may have some hesitation, today I submit myself to you. I am your willing servant. Please lead the way, and I will follow. And that's what we want to do, is follow Jesus. We heard a beautiful message about that on this past Sunday, yesterday, on following Jesus. Hallelujah.
Right.
Praise God. And if we follow him, everything will work out all right. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to share about the promises that God has made to us concerning financial and material provisions. Because, you know, we have the spiritual, and I embrace the spiritual, and many of us do all the time, and we should. But God also has promised financial and material provision for us as well. Amen. Even in abundance. So I'm going to share some of the scriptures that lead up to allowing us to know that we do have promises in those areas as well. Okay, and this is about, let's see. Okay, we're going to go to the scriptures here. The first one is Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 24th verse. And it says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we know that they were made lower than us. So we can imagine if he does all that for them, what he will do for us. Now let's go to Philippians 4:19, a very familiar scripture. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. And then the next one is Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 9. It says, and I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We know that that particular scripture is also found in Matthew as well. The next one is Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Hallelujah. Absolutely nothing will he keep from us if we walk uprightly before him. Amen. Now, we're going to go to Psalm 84th. We're still in Psalm, the 84th chapter and the 12th verse. It says, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee." Hallelujah. If we just trust in God, we will have much. We will have more than enough. Now let's go to Matthew 6, verses 32 and 33 and also 34. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." God already knows what we have need of, and he will supply it. The next verse, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33, and I'm going to read Matthew 6:34. It says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Amen. Hallelujah. So we know expect when we put our trust in God. I'll have a few more to read to you. We'll go to Psalm 37, and I will be reading verses 3 through 5. Psalm 37 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So God goes beyond meeting our needs, our basic needs. He goes even beyond that. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, it says he shall give us the desires of our hearts. So how can we delight ourselves in God? Praise God. Hallelujah. One, by staying in his word, by knowing his word, by walking in obedience to God. Hallelujah. And just doing what he tells us to do, and that's obeying him, doing what he tells us to do. Knowing to do good and to do it pleases God. Hallelujah. So in delighting ourselves in God, we are pleasing him by the things that we do that are good. Hallelujah. And excellent. Praise God. Hallelujah. We can't live just any kind of way and expect God to, be delighting himself in what we're doing. He's not going to. Praise God. If we're not pleasing God, well, we can't stand in that rightful place and have expectation of the Lord giving us our desires. Fifth verse says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Amen. Hallelujah. And many of us know that is absolutely true. That's the word. He said it.
Amen.
And it's the truth. Amen.
Yes.
Now let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. And I will be reading two verses, the 30th and the 31st verse in Luke. It says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Praise God. Hallelujah. So the things that we need of God, He already knows what we need. And He's letting us know that even those that are in the world are seeking after these things. Hallelujah. But God will make them readily available to you. The next verse says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God." That's Luke 12 and 31. "And all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Very similar to the passage in Matthew 6:33. Okay, let's go now to Luke 6:38. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Luke 6:38. Praise God. So God wants us to give. So we give, and it's telling us that how it will come back to us. Amen. So we give, and as the Lord blesses us to give, we also should give. And that's where our financial provision comes in, comes through by what we give. It's not always financial. God expects us to give of our whole selves to serve, you know, to meet the needs of others whenever we can. Hallelujah. To do service, maybe sharing with others, sharing a ride, offering to take somebody someplace, offering to do chores for somebody. All of these things add up, and they measure up, the things that we do. Hallelujah. For others, when we share our provision, praise God, it could be food, it could be money, it could be clothing, it could be a lot of things, praise God. But when we give, we want to give, what we can give, what we can share. And when we give, we need to think about, the best that we can give, that we give that. Praise God, hallelujah, that somebody else may be helped. Because if we're not willing to give, somebody else may go without just because we are not willing to give. So we have to be mindful of that also. Mm-hmm. Praise God. He blesses us in the financial area as well as the material area as well. Hallelujah. So that's my conclusion. From what I had to share today with you, but we also, back to the first part of the lesson, we also need to be courageous.
Mary, amen.
Was a courageous soul. We also need to be courageous in the things that God has given us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have courage and still have fear. You know,
mm-hmm.
However, we need to go to God and let Him, bless us, give that fear over to Him, trust Him. The more we trust Him, the less fearful we will be. And the more we put our trust in God, we begin to learn how to actually walk without fear. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Not a part of our lives anymore. The more we put our trust in Him, the more we allow Him to handle our situations and the cares that we have, the problems, the troubles, hallelujah, the anxieties, and all of these things that can happen to us in this life, if we just turn them over to God and allow Him to handle them, we can walk without fear. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I praise God for the two teachings tonight, and they always go together. I'm talking to you in the spiritual. I'm letting you know what the enemy is trying to do in the spiritual realm. And then Apostle Zeta comes and gives us things that we can do in the practical realm, things that we can do right now. And let me show you how this goes together, and then I'm going to hear comments from all of you. You know, if you are encouraged, you are more likely to have a good report. If you believe and trust in the promises of God, you can influence more people to the good. In the story tonight, I told you about the 12 spies. What were they crying about? We could have had it better back in Egypt. You know, we're out here. What? Just because 10 people came back and said, oh, it's terrible. Oh, there's giants over there. Oh, we're gonna surely die. And they believed it.
Amen.
And saints, that's what we do today when we turn on our TV sometimes. We always want to believe the worst reports on the news that we see, whether they've been fact-checked or not, but we still won't believe what our Father God has said. We still, if our spirit is aligned with His spirit, then we can transfer a loving spirit to the glory of God. That's why the enemy wants to tear it down, because as I said, if we're not encouraged, if we're not courageous, we're not going to go forth and do the work that God has called us to do for the kingdom.
Amen.
We're not going to encourage anybody else. We're not going to, when you're on the battlefield, people look out for one another.
Amen.
See, the worst thing that can happen to old Flathead in his mind is for the people of God to really come together.
Yes.
You know, really get to transfer, having a transference of Holy Ghost spirit that's full of love and joy and peace and wisdom and discernment and understanding, and we're helping others to walk the same way that we are.
Amen.
That's how come he's always trying to send old evil spirits to tear you down. You could have had the best day in your life. You know, you passed that big test. You've gotten engaged. Whatever the case, you know, you might have got some of the happiest news in your life. But then the enemy can come, you know, he'll send somebody.
Yes.
Oh, that's who you marrying? Oh, I heard he was this. I heard he was that. Get the bride to be all upset, just like the people were, the children of Israel, God, when they heard the rad report. You know, we need to be encouraged, and we need to trust and believe what God says. You're going to hear this through every message, through every teaching. We have to believe what God says. We have to stop just reading the words and then act like it's for everybody but us. Act like it's not really going to come true, but it is. God is true. So at this time, we're going to allow you to ask any questions, put your praise on it, touch and agree, because the more we touch and agree as a people of God, hallelujah, the more our unity is shown, the more we touch others for God's kingdom. So the way this works, if you would like to have a word, kindly press your 1. And I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. We're going to Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, because she has pressed her 1. Amen.
God, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just love the message tonight. And I remember years ago when I had this book on transference of spirit. And it's exactly what you said, Bishop Daughter, that we can hear something from somebody, And it can be in the church. Somebody is trying to be nice and kind, but they'll say, I don't think that's God. You don't have enough money, but I've got a scripture in 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Here's the key. If a man therefore purge himself from these, God didn't say purge yourself from the wood and the dishonorable. Purge yourself from all of them. Don't listen to anybody but the Lord and his word. He said if we purge ourselves from these, it said he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. And the key in this is that in a great house, in your church, in the body of Christ, we're all in different places in God. But God is saying to purge yourself, consecrate yourself. That's why consecration is so important, that we get away from the mouth and get in God's faith, get up close and personal with God. So this is just a beautiful lesson about the transference of spirits, and it makes it
Hallelujah. So
plain as to what it is.
Praise
and
God.
Apostle Zeta, the scripture I was thinking about when you were bringing your part is that the promises of God are yea and amen. If God said it, that's it.
Amen.
All we have to do is accept as you said and trust God. And obey.
Amen.
And once we get into a vein of obeying God, sometimes we are going to step out and it's going to be scary and we'll be shaking. But the more we do it, the easier it becomes. We'll just
yes.
say, okay.
Yes, amen.
Yes,
so
amen.
I just thank God for his word tonight. Amen.
God bless you. God bless you, beautiful prophetess. God bless you. Mother, we appreciate your comment. That's good. Because, see, can't no spirits be jumping off on you if God's spirit is already sitting there. Hallelujah.
Okay.
No evil spirits can be jumping off on you if
Thank
God's
you.
Spirit is already going to be sitting there. But we're going to have them counter strategies next week. But, you know, we just getting you ready. We getting you ready, getting ready, getting ready. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me go to my little sister, because I always recognize the Spirit Alive staff, because they're all anointed and they all have word. And see, it takes us all of us
yeah.
to build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So little sister Michelle, would you excuse me, little sister Evangelist Michelle, would
Amen.
You like to have a word, or did you have questions? What say you, sis?
I say, first I want to say thank you, Apostle Zeta, for first of all just bringing out that point about being courageous and still having fear, because some people feel that that's impossible. Because they think about when people always go around saying fear is not of God. And if you say that you're a saint of God or you're a Christian, and then you can't have fear, because they always say fear is not of God. So I'm glad that you brought that point out. And so
Amen.
That they just need to go to God and pray that he will strengthen them in
ma'am.
That area. And I want to say that I really enjoyed both of you guys' messages, Bishop, that about transferring of the spirits, because we know there are good spirits and bad spirits, and we know
Flathead
is always busy, so we as saints need to get busier. And
yes.
I love your Chronicle Challenges, Apostle Zeta. And tonight's was really great. I always love you guys' lessons. I was so blessed to be able to get in tonight because they're always timely and they make you just think about yourself and just, you know, help you get through not just the day or the night, but the week and the month. So I just thank you guys so much. I got so much out of it. You both encouraged me even more, and I'm just so blessed to be a part of the family. You guys are not only just encouraging me, but you both are teaching me. I'm learning so much, and I just thank you both so much. God bless you. And I
God
just love
bless you.
Both.
We love you too. We really, 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 really do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anyone else? If you're in the chat room, hallelujah, I'm sorry. If you're in the chat room and you have a question or you have a comment or a praise, because, see, we can always pray. We will always take time for praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. We will always take a moment. We'll always take a testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, Bishop, the topic is transference of spirit. Exactly. You know. Somebody, the right person, get on here with a praise. They'll start some stuff. We'll break out in church. Ooh, we, hallelujah. We'll break out in revival.
Amen.
Remember what I said? We don't have revival because, one, we're not spending time with the Lord, and, two, we letting the enemy jack up our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The Spirit of God brings revival. The Spirit of God brings life.
Amen.
The enemy doesn't want us to have that abundant life Jesus said he came to give us. The enemy doesn't, we know he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And even though you may not physically die, he wants to kill your spirit.
Yeah.
He wants to kill your joy. He wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to make you weak in the knees. He strikes when you least expect it. He strikes when you're already down. There is nothing worse than a person that is sick. Now, they believe in God for healing. They trust in God, you know, they got a really good attitude. But then people come in and start visiting, and this is what they have to hear. Oh, that's too bad. Then they start to tell them all kinds of stories about people they knew that had the same condition, and they died.
Yes. Amen.
So the next thing you know, the person that's in that they were talking to, they get to feeling worse and worse and worse as these different people come in and out until finally they give up because, see, they were already in a weakened state.
Yes.
Their spirit was already low. You know. So it was easy for someone with a more boisterous or forceful spirit to come in, just like the 10 spies, and wreak havoc.
Yes.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
So I just pray on tonight that we will all fight the good fight. As you hear us say over and over again, we have to stay armored up. We have to know that the enemy is always roaming to and fro like a roaring lion, devouring who he will. But we know he doesn't have any teeth because
we always in Christ, when we stand in Christ Jesus, we know that we're already victorious. And when we fight from a place of victory instead of fighting for victory, we can win every battle that comes our way with the power of God's Spirit living on the inside of us and trusting in Him to do exactly what He said He would do. Without doubt.
Yes.
I'm like Caleb. I don't care what the situation is. I'm like, oh, is it the rose like roses for me? Now, am I looking at the world through rose-colored glasses? No, I'm not. It's just that I believe in the God I serve.
Yes.
I believe He loves me, and He wants what's best for me. Why?
Amen.
Because I'm blessed. Why? Because I have joy right now today in the midst of chaos. Why? Because when other people are running around and going down, the Lord seems to be lifting me up.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
So I don't care what nobody come around saying to me. It's like, God is good. I don't care what you talk about. He's been good to me. I don't know what's going over there with you, but He's been real good to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
So keep your little nasty spirit on over there, cause ain't nothing you can say gonna make me change how I feel about my Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, when you're tuned in to the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what sometimes we do. Sometimes, you know, the enemy will be sending them down the street directly at you, and the Holy Ghost will make you turn the corner. He will start protecting you. There's just some days He knows that you can't, you know, you're not in a place to deal with some of these spirits. So He just removes you away from it because He's always looking out for His children. And we just need to give Him glory and honor and praise because He is that good. And just knowing every day we have the victory. Every day we have the victory. Every day the Lord wakes us up, we have the victory. Every day we have another chance to be a blessing. To fight the good fight of faith every day. And I praise God for what's going on here at Spirit Alive, for all of the people that listen, for all of the beautiful anointed staff that God has sent, because I pray for each and every one of them. You know, not by name. I just put in my request, and He sent me the very best. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus. That's all. But, Lord, we're going to have a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you have given us your holy word.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that we can learn every counter strategy, every divine tactic from you, Lord God, so that we will always stand victorious before the enemy.
Okay.
Lord God, we pray for more courage for those that need courage.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray that even if they are afraid, that they would obey you and just do it afraid, Lord.
Yes.
Because the more they obey you, Lord, the more they feel your power, the more they know that you are walking with them, Father God, the easier it will become.
Yes.
Lord, we just want to thank you for your spirit that lives on the inside of us, that helps us to test those spirits, to help us to trust your word. When the news says, it's terrible, this, that, you know, you're not going to have enough of this, you're not going to have enough of that. But Lord God, we stand on your holy word. We know you are Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees and provides our every need. So we fear not or fret not.
Hallelujah.
You are still El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. So we are not going to fear or lack anything. We don't have to be like your children, the Israelites, were. We already know hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
From their story, that you're a faithful God, that you're a mighty God.
Amen.
That you're a loving, gracious, and merciful God.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Lord, continue to walk with us and talk with us and teach us your ways. Teach
yes.
us your precepts, Lord. Search
yes.
us, O God, and if there's anything in us that's not like you, we want you to remove it, because we don't want the devil to have a breach. We don't want to have a breach that the enemy can enter through.
Jesus.
We pray that you shore us up on every lean inside, that you fill every crack with your word, every chink in the armor with your holy word.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
And Lord, just help us to be, hallelujah, all that we can be for your people, so that you might receive the glory, honor, and the praise.
Yes.
Lord, help us to be your life, your love. Let help us to transfer your spirit everywhere we go.
Hallelujah.
Unto a dying, sin-sick world, so that they might come to know you and the pardon of their sin for themselves.
Yes, yes.
And Lord, we would be so careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise.
Yes.
And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah. We just praise God for tonight. I'm always so blessed by these programs, and not because I do them. I'm more blessed by the comments and by the challenge. And
yes.
Because I just love watching God work through his people. I love
yes.
hearing God work through his people. I just, that makes me so happy. So I just want to thank God again for Apostle Zeta, Flowers, who brought the beautiful 2 Chronicles 7:14 challenge. I want to thank the Lord, hallelujah, for my sister, who will be is on the air with me every Wednesday night on Sister to Sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I want to thank Prophetess Kathleen Holloway. She is a faithful staple here at the Spirit Alive Network. I haven't known her long, but we're getting to know her well, amen. And she's sharing her experiences of God with us, and we praise God for her, and we praise God for all of you.
Yes.
So we pray, and we also want you to continue to walk with us throughout the week. The Spirit of Love Network has a program broadcasting every day of the week. We have over 2,500 programs archived on Blog Talk Radio and affiliate websites around the world. So check us out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we hope you will truly receive a blessing. This has been Bishop Sherlene Cook for Taking It to the Streets with my beautiful family. Hallelujah. We bid you, we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Hallelujah. That you have a beautiful and blessed week. And from my household to your household, be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah.
Good night.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we love you.
God bless everybody. Love you.